Welcome to the QP Diaries podcast. This podcast is all about inspiring and empowering the next generation of QP professionals and future quality assurance leaders in the UK pharmaceutical industry. On every episode, I'll be speaking to QPs from across the industry, and our listeners will have the opportunity to hear their stories, their expertise, and we'll be going to be discussing topics to foster growth and learning to help you develop your career as a qualified person. If you're passionate about quality assurance and want to learn from some of the very best QPs and thought leaders from across the industry, then this is a podcast for you. I'm your host, Dal, founder of AssureBio, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Martin, welcome to the QP Diaries podcast.
Pleased to be here.
Thanks for agreeing to be a guest. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. And this episode of the QP Diaries podcast is a little bit different to the usual format that I have with the guests I have on the show, but there is a good reason why. So today you're going to be sharing your knowledge on the still very much unknown, but fascinating subject of artificial intelligence. So it's going to be relevant to our listeners who are QPs, of course, but also the general population in the pharma and biotech industries. So I believe they're going to be very interested in what you've got to hear today about your recent involvement in AI. To get us started, Martin, and for the benefit for our listeners, can you briefly introduce yourself and tell our audience about your recent involvement in AI?
Well, thanks, Dal. It's a pleasure being here. I've been involved in the healthcare pharmaceutical industry for nearly 40 years. So, a fair old time. Worked previously with AstraZeneca, then joined a small consulting practice called David Beck Associates that then ultimately became NSF. And then, before leaving NSF a couple of years ago, I was the global VP for health sciences. And, since then, Dal, I've really been engaged with my clients, which, all around the world, who are really focused on how do they prepare their businesses and how do they prepare their people for the future, not for the past. And I truly believe that, in times of turbulence, and those turbulence are here to stay, it's not the turbulence that create the risk, it's the application of yesterday's logic to the problems that everybody is facing. And all of my clients, whether they be on the West Coast of the US or in India or anywhere in the world, they're all faced with the same kind of challenges, which is, their profits are falling because we're in a decade or two of inflationary pressures. They're getting disruption almost on a weekly basis. And everybody in the organization is being asked to do more, but with less resource and do it faster. And with regard to the application of AI, all of the clients that I've been working with are coming to me saying, look, we're not just chasing shiny new things. In other words, it's not the technology or the science of artificial intelligence that fascinates us. It's the business imperative. We have to make faster decisions. We have to make smarter decisions. We have to make better use of the data and knowledge that is spread around the entire organization, but is not connected. We have to improve our cycle time. We have to improve our right first time. We have to improve dramatically improve simplification, remove complexity. And all of that is being driven by business necessity, Dal. And the areas that I've been focusing on, those areas of drug development, clinical trials, where AI get all of the headlines, and rightly so, new drugs coming through, new molecules being discovered, new science being discovered. What I'm focusing on is what the clients are desperately looking for, which is how do we improve business? In the areas of, for example, product release, in the areas of deviation investigation, in the areas of change management, in the areas of adverse drug reactions, how do we move faster, quicker, and not compromise safety, quality, and efficacy? in an environment that is only going to get more volatile, more uncertain, more complex, and more ambiguous.
Yeah. And then in terms of the rapid evolution of AI, and obviously the narrative around it at the moment, how much is hype versus actual reality from what you've seen so far?
I think we are each collectively bombarded by the news headlines each and every day, you know, in terms of healthcare costs are at a level no government can afford. You know, we have, I don't call them healthcare systems, they're disease care systems that are broken. We have an aged population with an increase in chronic conditions. And we have ongoing disruption that none of the catalysts for what we were describing earlier, none of that is going away. So those drivers are going to remain. And then when you put those alongside the exponential improvement, the exponential development in AI, I mean, you know, some of those key subject matter experts are predicting there will be a millionfold, just get your head around that, a millionfold acceleration in the development of AI within the next 15 to 20 years, a millionfold. A part of my interest in AI is not so much as a consultant to the pharmaceutical industry, but actually it's as a father of two young adults. You know, so my son is 28, my son's 29. Their careers, the impact that it is going to have on that generation and generations that follow is going to be profound. There is not one profession, there's not one job that will be unaffected by artificial intelligence, machine learning, deep learning, whatever you want to call it. So part of my interest is, as a parent, in terms of how I coach and how do I mentor, you know, that generation to make the right decision. So is it hype? I don't think it is. Okay, there's some element, there's always some element of hype. But that development is only going to accelerate. The need is only going to become more acute. And also, as we know from history, that when new technology, when new science comes into play, those barriers to entry, cost will fall, availability will improve. So it's real, it's here, and it's only going to accelerate, and it's going to accelerate at a rapid amount. So I don't think there's anybody that's going to be unaffected by it. So I think it's more reality, most definitely more reality than hype.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Now, thanks for clarifying that. And yeah, you touched upon it there in terms of it's about the next generation, regardless of industry that these individuals are in. So I think the tagline AI won't take your job, but someone using AI will, is very, very much real, as you say. And you're going to be a keynote speaker on AI applications across conferences throughout this year, including Making Pharmaceuticals, which is coming up in just under 2 weeks' time now. So in regards to what you're going to be covering, your presentations, what are going to be the key themes for your
presentations? My key objective, Dal, is for people to join the AI Optimist Club. You know, you can either view this from a glass half full or glass half empty perspective.
Yeah.
I truly believe that we are at a pivotal point in history, a pivotal point in healthcare, and to be partnered with AI in, you know, all of the people that you and I know that join the pharmaceutical industry, you know, a vast majority of them are driven by the desire to bring medicines to patients faster, quicker, cheaper. Yeah. So we're all motivated by that. And I think you know, what I want really people, I really want people to be encouraged by what it can offer, because we each have a choice. Number one, we can either ignore it, fine, but, you know, bury your head in the sand, pretend it's not happening. Well, you're only going to be at risk if you choose to ignore it. You can say, well, okay, we'll confine it. Well, sorry, but that horse is already bolted. You can't confine artificial intelligence. You can partner with it, or you can defer to it. Now, out of those four options, the best, the safest option from my perspective is that we need to learn how to partner with it. And with the clients that I've been working alongside, and during the conference, not just this conference, but I'm speaking at three or four conferences through the year on exactly the same subject. That is, how do we stay relevant in the GXP environment? How do you stay relevant in the age of artificial intelligence? The answer is you've got to learn how to partner with it. And I'm going to be giving practical examples of how some of my clients and QPs within that client base have learnt to work alongside artificial intelligence. So how it can be used as an assistant in product release, how it can be used in the deviation and kappa system to identify clusters and patterns of so-called minor deviations or minor quality incidents, so that information can accelerate a better investigation so that those incidents are reduced. So, you know, that's that there is, in my from my perspective, there's no reason to be hesitant. You know, it's an opportunity to embrace, because I think that's the only, the best way to deal with it, which is to learn how to partner with it. So, you know, during these various keynote presentations, I'm going to be sharing practical experiences, my practical reflections on those experiences, and actually, you know, share with people the questions that I've been asking. You know, and for me, it's about how do you be the common sense person in the room? How do you ask amongst all these data scientists? How do you ask those common sense questions? So I'm going to be sharing with people, how do you identify the design intent? How do you know that the components of the algorithms that drive the science are fit for purpose? How do you know that the data, because data is the fuel for artificial intelligence, how do you know that data is good, because garbage in, garbage out? How do you validate the outputs? And what guardrails do you put in place to ensure that the right decisions are being made? Because we also have to rethink how we regulate. You can't apply yesterday's logic. You can't apply the regulatory approach that has been typical for the past, when something is invisible and exponentially increasing and improving at the rate that it is. So we need to completely rethink the way that we regulate, the way that we control. We do need to regulate, but we can't use yesterday's logic to do that.
Thanks for sharing that insight into what you're going to be talking about. And you mentioned it there in terms of QPs, and the podcast for that I present is the QP Diaries. And I've had conversations with individuals in the industry who have been, as you say, optimistic about AI and the application of it. However, also QPs who've been very, very hesitant and are doubting it completely. They're scared of it, of course, and they potentially think it will impact their job, their responsibilities as a QP. So what would you say to this cohort of professionals?
I think, you know, that hesitancy is understandable. You know, when anything new comes along, not just new, but this is dramatically new. You know, we're going through the AI revolution. It's not going to be the same as the agricultural revolution. It's not going to be the same as the industrial revolution. It's going to be even more dramatic than those two combined. So I think that hesitancy is a natural reaction. And what I'd be saying to people is, look, it's that old saying, you know, you understand more so that you fear less. You know, a lot of these books at the back, you know, are on artificial intelligence and data mining and all that kind of stuff. Because my objective is to understand more so that I fear less. But then to translate that understanding into common language that people can understand. And frankly, if I can understand it, anybody can understand it. So I think that hesitancy is a natural reaction. But I think by agreeing to partner with it rather than resist it, rather than to wait for what regulators will say about it, because if you're going to be waiting on heck of a long time for that. So I'm hoping the sessions that I present and the follow-up, and we'll discuss that in a minute, is going to put people's mind at rest. And I'll just give you some practical examples where I've been working with quality professionals who were hesitant at the start, at the end of the various projects on the use of AI in batch release, the use of AI in deviation investigations. They actually became AI optimists because they actually saw that this is going to facilitate, this is going to help. It has improved right first time dramatically. It has improved cycle time at batch release dramatically. It has reduced repeat deviations dramatically. And in doing all of those, it's actually released QPs from the shackles of batch release. I can remember, you know, long hours in the product release office, to allow those QPs to actually be out of the office and to actually be engaged in driving continuous improvement, actually be better engaged with education and development, actually be more engaged with prevention activities rather than firefighting. And in most cases, not all, but in most cases, those qualified persons, those quality professionals have actually kind of looked at AI genuinely as a partner that facilitates their professional duties in accelerating and, you know, getting good product, safe product, compliant product to patients faster, more efficiently and cheaper.
Yeah. They're the absolute positives, which every QP breeze throughout their career. So thanks for sharing that, Martin. And as you mentioned, it's a critical time that we're all in at the moment. So as you say, I think now is the time to partner with AI. And for those who can't attend the conference in a couple of weeks' time or conferences later in the year, how would you advise them to get more information?
Well, look, you know, at the end of certainly the Making Pharma conference, you know, we're going to be, I'm sure there's going to be lots of questions. There's going to be lots of concerns raised. Yeah. Excuse me. And what I think you and I have agreed to do is we'll look at those questions after the conference and maybe, you know, have another session where we field those questions, we answer those concerns. So there'll be that. But, you know, if anybody ever wants to just, you know, drop me an email if they want, I'll be, you know, if people want to see my slide deck that I'll be presenting at that conference, you know, I'm more than happy to send them that slide deck. You know, we're endeavouring to record that presentation because the slide deck in isolation doesn't really convey too much without the explanation, without the narrative. So we will be endeavouring to record that session. So, you know, hopefully it will start to engage. My objective is to engage people. My objective is to acknowledge their hesitancy and their concerns, which are natural, but to allay those by just giving them examples, giving them practical guidance on real life experience rather than textbook, rather than theory, but to actually say, look, this is how it's worked. This is where it went wrong on occasions, but this is where it succeeded. And all we need to do, all you need to do is just do the same thing. But it starts with having that open mind, which is, look, I have to engage. I have to engage. I have to partner. Yeah. Here are the benefits. You can't confine it. You certainly can't defer to it. In other words, just allow AI to be the decision maker. We cannot allow that to happen. So for me, you can't ignore it. You can't confine it. You can't defer to it. the only option is you have to learn to work alongside it. And if you're not doing it for yourself, do it for your children, do it for the next generation, because this is going to have a profound impact on their career choices and their life decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if people are at the event, you're going to be, I believe, stand 121 with Mukesh from ComQP. So if anyone wants to catch you there, they may be able to find you on that stand. Yeah, brilliant. All right. Excellent, Martin. Well, that's it for now. So thank you for being a guest on the QP Diaries podcast. As I said, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, and I very much look forward to seeing your presentation in person.
Thanks, Tom.
Making Father.
A huge thank you to our special guest and to our listeners for tuning into the QP Diaries podcast. We hope you've enjoyed the show. As the founder of AssureBio, we created the podcast to support our wider quality assurance community, which aligns to our dedicated offering as a recruitment agency to the pharmaceutical and biotechnology industry across the UK. We have over 10 years of experience exclusively focused on recruiting senior quality assurance leaders and QPs. If you want to learn more about AssureBio's recruitment services, or if you would like to be a guest on the podcast, then please don't hesitate to contact me. Thank you.